All right, John chapter 11. I want to read this again. Verse 25. Lord Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then in verse 38, the Lord came to the grave, and it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Our Lord says here, I am the resurrection and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. There are some in this world who claim to be able to heal people. They claim to be able to speak in tongues, which they make out to be some unintelligible heavenly language that only they know. And they claim they can heal people. They can heal people. Now, there are plenty of scriptures we could go to show that these things are not so. Look over at Acts chapter 2. For one, the Lord didn't give men some heavenly, unintelligible language. He gave men the ability to speak in foreign language they had never learned. He says here in Acts 2 and verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. See that? Every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. That is, read on. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. That's what he means, that the language that they were born speaking, that's how they heard them. I mean, look, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea. On he goes with all this list of different places these people were from and all these different languages. But look at verse 11. What did they speak? It wasn't just that they were able to speak in those foreign languages. What did they speak? They said, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. They preached the gospel. They preached Christ's person and his works. That's what they were speaking. And they were speaking in language that the audience could understand. That's the gift he gave. We could show from scriptures. Look over to Acts 8. We could show how, when it comes to this thing of healing, Christ gave to his apostles, the ability to lay their hands on men that they might receive the Holy Spirit so they could work gifts. But the apostles were the ones who could lay their hands on them, the Holy Spirit would be given, and those people could work gifts. But when they died, there was no one else to pass on those, to lay their hands and the Holy Spirit enter and give those gifts. Now look here in Acts 8:14, when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. These were the Lord's apostles. And it says, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Simon didn't ask for the Spirit, and he didn't ask for gifts to heal. He asked for the power to lay his hands on others, that they would receive the Spirit and receive gifts. But you see, and Peter told him, your money perish with you. This can't be purchased with money. But the point is here, these various gifts and these signs, they were only given ability to work those through the apostles laying their hands on men and the Spirit of God giving them that ability. And when the apostles died, that ability to do that passed away with them. But we don't need gifts and signs now. We don't need gifts and signs because those gifts and signs were God bearing witness of his messengers that preached the gospel of Christ. And God was bearing witness of Christ through those signs and wonders. Listen to Hebrews 2:3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and different miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. There was a purpose in those gifts. It wasn't to attract attention to the one who worked the healing. It was to assure the folks who were hearing the gospel preach that Christ who they preached is indeed this great salvation we need. It was all to point sinners to Christ, not to the gifts, not to the ability to heal. That was God bearing witness. And it was only until the time that the scriptures, the New Testament, was written down. But now that it's written down, we don't need any of those extra signs. Look here at 2 Peter with me. 2 Peter. 2 Peter, we have the complete Word of God. They didn't have the New Testament when they were working those miracles. God was bearing witness and showing, these are my messengers, hear the Christ that they're preaching. That was the point. Now listen to what Peter says here. Now we have it. Now we have the Word of God. And this whole word declares Christ is the resurrection and the life. Look to him. Now listen to this. 2 Peter 1:16. Peter said, we've not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. He's talking about what took place on the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw Christ transfigured in his glory. He took the veil off. They saw his glory. And they heard God speak from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. We don't have to have that. We don't have to have God do that. Why? We got Peter right here in the scripture bearing witness to us that it's so. We got the Word of God. Now listen to what, look, why, that's why God didn't do that now. Listen to what Peter said here in verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. He's saying this is better than going into the mount and seeing Christ's glory and hearing God speak from heaven. This is what he's going to have us hear. This sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Men did not come up with these scriptures on their own. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So, you could show many places that they spoke the gospel, and they spoke it in language people could understand. You could show that this gift of healing was only for a time. It was the apostles who could give the ability to work gifts. But if I was going to go somewhere to show somebody and point them away from being deceived by that kind of thing, I'd go to John 11. John 11. I'd go straight here, because our Lord says here in John 11, 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Every miracle our Lord worked while he walked this earth was to declare this very thing, that he's the resurrection and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. No man ever raised the dead. Nobody ever raised the dead. But now listen, people will get so taken up with somebody who pretends they can heal people. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're seeing him do this. It's right here in God's holy word, and he raised a man from the dead. We have it. We have the witness right here, the word of God, right here. And he's declaring, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. This is the life speaking. This is him who is the resurrection speaking. This is God speaking, declaring, I am the life. Believe on me and you shall never die. This is him declaring. And he showed he's the resurrection and the life. He raised Lazarus from the grave to life after he'd been dead in the grave 4 days. We need more than to be healed from bodily sickness. We need to be made the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God. What's the cause of sickness and death? It's sin. Sin is the cause of sickness and death. By one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That one man is Adam. And by Adam's one transgression, sin entered this world, and death by sin. And because he's the head, death passed upon all of us because we have all sinned. We have all sinned. Our guilt before holy God, being guilty before God for transgressing his holy law in Adam, is what we need to be healed from. And that can only be by the Lord Jesus Christ being our righteousness. And not only did we become guilty, but sin passed upon us, and death passed upon us in our bodies. In our bodies. That's why every man's body shall die. That's why every man will eventually die and this body go back to the dust. It's because these bodies are the product of Adam. These bodies came from Adam. We were conceived of his corrupt seed. We were conceived in sin, so that we came forth with Adam's corrupt, totally ruined, dead sin nature. We need more than bodily healing. We need Christ the life. We need Christ the life. And that can only be by Christ the resurrection quickening us and giving us life. No sinful man can give us the healing we need. That's just blasphemous for men to try to deceive men that they can heal men. He's the life. He's the life. There's only one who can give life, who can heal, and he is that life. He's the life because he's righteousness. I've said this so many times that life and righteousness are synonymous. I just read about Adam. By one man, sin entered the world and death by sin. Christ is righteous. That's why he's life. If Christ is in you, the body's dead because of sin. It's the product of Adam. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. Where there is no sin, where there's righteousness, there's life. Christ is that life. Christ is the last Adam who came forth to live and die for his people to make us righteous. To make us the righteousness of God in him. To live and die for his people. This is why the Son of God took the nature of his people as a man. He was without sin in his mother's womb. You ladies who not too long ago were carrying a child, I guarantee you the Lord Jesus gave his mother no problem whatsoever, even in the womb. He was without sin in the womb. And he came forth and he knew no sin in his nature and he never committed sin ever. Never. Never. Never had even not even an ill thought that was not righteous toward anybody. And not any that but was what was righteous toward God. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. He said, I do always those things which please my Father. Now you think about that. I do always those things which please my Father. That's the righteousness we got to have. That's what God will receive. That's the only thing God will receive from me and you. To always do that which pleases him. That's how good we got to be. Always do that which pleases him. And he did that as the head of his people. He did that representing his people with his people in him. And brethren, we did that. Because he always pleased the Father. The only way God can receive us is to look upon you and behold Christ, his Son, who always pleased him, so that by what Christ did, he can look at you and say, you've always pleased him. You've always pleased him. Isn't that amazing? This is what God says of his people. He's the resurrection and the life because he's the righteous one. He said, there's always a definite article there. He's the righteousness or the resurrection and the life because he's the righteous one. He's the faithful one. He lived under that law in perfect obedience unto the death of the cross, and made us the righteousness of God in him by honoring the law on behalf of his people. That's what he did. And he went to that cross, and he bore the justice in our place, and purged his people of our sin, so that he that is dead is freed from sin. He that is dead is justified from sin. God says, I will not charge them. God says, I have already satisfied myself in my holiness and my justice completely, fully, thoroughly, and left no sin unpunished. And that's what he did in Christ for his people. So that his people are righteous before him. Righteous before him. He reconciled us to God by his death. That's what Romans 5 said. If when we were enemies, we didn't know him yet. It'd be years and years and years before we knew him. But if when we were enemies, he hath reconciled us to God by the death of his Son. Much more than being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. He did it. He accomplished it. Now, life is given no other way than Christ the life. He is the resurrection and the life. Life comes no other way than by Christ. We have to have our guilt put away. We must be made the righteousness of God. And Christ alone is the life, because he alone is the righteousness of his people. Not any contribution of righteousness from us. It's all Christ. It's all Christ. We couldn't contribute any life to give ourselves life. He's the life, because he's the righteousness. But what about these bodies of sin? What about these products of Adam? What about these bodies of sin? We're born spiritually dead in sin. Christ said there in our text, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. We couldn't do that. We couldn't live, and we couldn't believe on him because we were dead. How are we going to live, and how are we going to believe on him? Christ is the resurrection and the life. We need more than to be healed from bodily disease. We have to be created entirely new. Entirely new. You hath he quickened who were dead. He came to that tomb and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And by his word, Lazarus came forth alive. He's the life. He's the resurrection. And through the preaching of the gospel, through the preaching of the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks. It's his word. It's the word of our Lord. It's Christ the word speaking the word. That's the incorruptible seed. It's him speaking the word. And when he speaks the word, that's how we're born from above. That's how a new man is created that was not there before. A new spirit that was not there before. His word is the incorruptible seed, and what it creates is incorruptible. Can't be corrupted. Nothing can corrupt it. That's the new man that he creates. A new man created in Christ's image. What does that mean? That means in righteousness and holiness, just like Christ is, because and Christ is the righteousness and the holiness of the new man. Without us doing a thing, he is the righteousness and holiness of the new man. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Inseparably one with Christ, righteous by Christ, holy by Christ, incorruptible by Christ. This is the new man. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And when he speaks, we're resurrected to life just like Lazarus was made alive and came out of that tomb. When he comes to us and speaks the word and makes us to be born again, we are resurrected to newness of life by him in our heart, in this new man, in these bodies of death. And this is the good news he declares in the heart. When he speaks this, you believe him. When he gives you life, he gives you faith. He said, he that liveth and believeth on me. And when he gives life, he gives faith. And he said this. This is the good news that he speaks to you through faith. When he gives you faith, he brings you to him. This is the good news he declares to you. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. This is the healing we need. This is the healing we need. It's all together. It's being healed all together so that God can receive us. We could not even pray to God and God receive us in the holiest of holies and hear us even praying to him, except he had made us holy and righteous by Christ our life, and receive us in Christ our life at his right hand. But he healed us. That's how real it is. Now, when Christ has brought a sinner to believe on him, when he's brought us to believe on him, this is the good news. Verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life, and for every believer, these bodies shall die. They're the product of Adam. There's a new man created in you that is the product of Christ. these bodies came from Adam. And they're going to be what they are till we die. That's why we're going to die, because our body is sin. It's going to die. We're going to die. It's got to go back to the dust. It's going to die. But listen, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. The body must die. It's the product of Adam. But the new man that Christ has created, the new spirit Christ has put in his people, that spirit goes to be with the Lord immediately when we draw our last breath. Just like he came to that tomb and he said, Lazarus, come forth. He will come to his child and speak to your spirit and call your spirit out of your body. You ever seen it? I've seen the spirit go out of somebody's body. That body is good for nothing. It just becomes still as a stone and dead as a hammer. But Christ comes and he speaks and he calls that spirit he's made out of his child and he calls us to glory with him. He that believes on Christ, though his body were dead, yet shall he live. Christ told the repentant, believing thief on the cross, he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Today. That new man is righteous and holy. There is no sin, so there is no death. It can't be killed. The new man that he's created, and you can't die. Why? He's righteous and holy, and there is no sin. Because Christ has made that new man. He can't die. Nothing's got to be done to the spirit. Nothing's got to be altered. Nothing's got to be modified. There is in you right now, believer, a new man, righteous and holy by Christ, united with Christ, inseparably united with Christ. And we're going to go to be with the Lord in spirit immediately when we die. Now, the believer's body only sleeps in the grave. It only sleeps in the grave. That's why the Lord said back up there in verse 11, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. Isn't that a good word? Our Lord said, our friend. You have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. The Lord Jesus Christ. And he's... And every believer is not only his friend, they're our friend. He said, our friend sleepeth. He sleepeth. But I go that I may awake him out of sleep. And he made sure we understood now. He wasn't talking about sleeping like we sleep at night. He said, Lazarus is dead. He waited 4 days so that we know Lazarus was dead. But his body was only sleeping. He sleepeth. He sleepeth. Down in South Arkansas in a little country cemetery out in the middle of nowhere, my grandfather's gravestone has one word on it, waiting. That's all it says, waiting. The body is just waiting. It sleeps. We go to be with the Lord immediately, the body just sleeps, waiting. But when Christ returns, by his word, by him speaking, he's going to say, come forth. And just like Lazarus came out of that grave, our bodies are going to come out of the grave, and our spirit and our body is going to be reunited, and we're going to be an entirely new man, entirely created of our Lord Jesus Christ. The entire creation of Christ, beginning to end, done by him, created by him. All of him. That's what he means when he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Go over to 1 Corinthians 15. In verse 45, he says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was a living soul. The last Adam, a quickening spirit. Look at verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Verse 49, as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. He's telling you what we are in our body. Corruption. Corruption can't inherit glory. It's got to be made incorruptible. Just like you, isn't that what the new man is? He said that the hidden man of the heart, which is not corruptible. Well, our bodies has got to be made incorruptible too. How's that going to be? Verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Not all the bodies of his saints shall sleep in the grave. Some of his saints shall be alive when our Lord returns. We're not going to all sleep. Not all our bodies will sleep in the grave. But we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now here's why we get sick. Here's why we die. But here's why that grave won't hold one of his people. Here's why he said, but though you were dead, you shall not die. You shall live. Here's why. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. That's why these bodies are going to die. But you know why they can't stay there? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He honored and fulfilled the law for his people, put away all our sin. And there's no death where that's the case. He is the resurrection and he is the life. Psalm 98 says, O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. He's given us the victory. The gift of eternal life is all by grace. It's the gift of God. It's entirely of grace. And it's only through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. It's all of grace. Now let me end by turning your attention back to verse 26. Just a moment. After declaring he's the resurrection and the life, by whom the believer shall never die, here's our Lord's question to you and me. Here's the question. He asked this question to Martha, and this is a good question for us to answer. Believest thou this? Believest thou this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Now, I want you to get this. Be sure to get this. There was a man named Hezekiah. And by God's grace, the Lord was pleased to send Hezekiah sickness. That was God's grace to Hezekiah. He sent him sickness. And God sent word to Hezekiah by his messenger. Somebody somewhere tonight's probably sick. Maybe they'll hear this message. He sent his messenger. And he declared to him to put his house in order because he would die and not live. The Lord knew Hezekiah would not die right then. The Lord's appointed the day that all his people are going to die. He knew when Hezekiah would die. But what he said to Hezekiah was, so, put your house in order, for you shall die and not live. And that's so me and you and all of us. Well, how's a man going to put his house in order? God brought Hezekiah cast himself on the mercy of God. He cast himself on the mercy of God. He believed on Christ. And God sent that sickness to Hezekiah for that very purpose. He sent that sickness to Hezekiah to bring Hezekiah to cry out to God to save him, to cast all his care into the hand of the Lord. That's why he gave him the sickness. Look to Christ alone. Believe on Christ alone. And you know what happened when Hezekiah turned to the Lord? The Lord declared to him he would not physically die for 10 more years. But now, after those 10 years, Hezekiah died physically. But he didn't die. He didn't die. Because Christ is the resurrection and the life. And though Hezekiah were dead, yet did he live. And he still lives now, right now. Just like Moses died way back there, Elisha died, and when they were in that Mount of Transfiguration, you know who they saw with the Lord? Moses, Elijah. Bodies were sleeping, but there they were with the Lord. Whenever God gives us sickness or trouble or anything like that, it's not to go look into phony faith healers. It's not to looking for just life, just physical life for a little while longer. It's to turn us to Christ. It's to bring us to Christ. And what the sickness we need to be made to see that we have is sin. The disease called sin. And there's only one that heals from that. Christ said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. This is the question. Believest thou this? Believest thou this? What think ye of Christ? That's the question. And God give us grace to answer with Martha. Yes, Lord, I believe. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which shall come into the world. God bless his word. Amen.